When your furnace or air conditioner quits, you need it fixed, fast. This is Dennis Sullivan, president of CARE Heating and Cooling. Our technicians are paid to fix your HVAC system, not sell you a new one. We show up on time, diagnose the problem, and get you comfortable again, without the high-pressure sales pitch. It's our commitment to honesty and craftsmanship that helped us win the Lennox Partner of the Year Award and a BBB Torch Award for Ethics last year. So, call CARE Heating and Cooling at 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com. When you need a company you can trust.
Ever eat something so good you question your past decisions? Teriyaki Madness Bowls do just that. Stacked with protein, fresh veggies, and so crazy delicious, you'll blurt out things you can't say in front of grandma.
Holy sh! This is amazing!
Teriyaki Madness. Crazy delicious.
Yeah. So the craziest part is the one guy I was talking about that I think I know will listen to this. Anytime it was a sketchy area, we were like, hey man, hop out for me real quick. And he's like, okay. And he'd jump out and he'd go do it. And we're like, and there was a couple times I remember.
Is this
I was
the, guy? Hang on. Is this the guy that every time he got out of the van, he fell out of the van?
He did.
The Thunder bore two sons. One he named after himself, the other after the fathers before him, because ego was generational. The Thunder lived wild and free to the fullest, laughed louder than doctrine, and when he vanished in a fist-pumping celebration, he left us, his unqualified, unstable sons, to figure it all out. Welcome to the Sons of Thunder podcast, where healing sounds like laughter, heresy is accidental, and joy is our end-time survival strategy. Strap in, say a prayer, and try not to get stuck in the truths that hit harder than a youth camp altar call. Now, let's dive in with joy as our protest. We start recording with, do you want me to tell you the problem in the church?
Yeah. We should just...
It's going to just happen now. You know, this is just going to naturally take
give
off.
Give me a problem of the church.
I'll give you a problem. So I was reading in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in my devotion time on Wednesday morning. And I had a fellow who texted me, and he was coming to Wednesday night. He was coming to students Wednesday night.
Old fellow.
And had old fellow coming. And he was saying, hey, whatever you need me to do, let me know. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I'd love to do this or I'd love to do this. He's wanting to serve in an area, right? He could be listening to this. He could be.
Really? Is he a Thunder Buddy?
He's not a Thunder Buddy, but he may stumble upon it.
He needs to.
But he said, I can do this. I can do this. He started listing off all these things he can do, right? Abilities he has.
Okay.
We'll say abilities. I will tell you a major problem in the church.
Okay.
We find the able and try to make them faithful.
Oh, man. Where'd you read that from? That was not a thunderism.
2 Timothy 2 says, I want to read it. I want to read it to you. I'll read it to you. 2 Timothy 2 says, we'll just go with verse number 1, and then we'll read verse 2 is where it's at. But verse 1 says, then you, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 2. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also.
Oh, a little switcheroo.
A little switcheroo. So, meaning...
you're doing it wrong.
We're doing it wrong. The church is doing it wrong. We try to find the best suited, gifted person to come and fill a role. And then when they're in that role, we're like, man, we want them to be faithful in this role. Whereas we need to take the faithful and then make them able to do it.
Oh my goodness.
So I had breakfast with a guy today, this morning, and he said, hey man, I just want you to know. He said, I'm all in. You tell me what you need, you tell me where you need it, but I want you to know I am in. Which that's when I finally said, now we're talking. Like now, if I know he's faithful, then I will make him able to do whatever. It's so much easier to go that way, because that's what the Bible says to do, than it is to go the other way around. Where we tried, because here's the deal. I can go find talent.
You can.
I can go find a guy that can sing, but is he going to be a faithful worship leader?
Right.
Don't know. You want to find the faithful and make him able.
My favorite is when you have people that were very similar to my story. Is I'm all in, like whatever it is. And the first question is typically, but what can you do? That's the one I was typically asked.
Right. What
skill set do you bring to the table? Literally nothing.
Nothing.
Have no idea what I'm doing.
I can do a podcast. By do a podcast, I mean I can sit in a chair and talk.
I can.
The electronics and the recording and all the editing, I can't do any of that.
No, that's our producer.
That's our producer. Who obviously has been slacking because we haven't had an episode come out.
Talking, just nobody's been recording me.
We've sat here and done this for hours and no one has recorded. So yeah, I will say this. The major problem in the church is we find the able and try to make them faithful. So we pastors will go and look for the best talent.
Yeah.
And they need to look for the most faithful. It reminds me of Acts 4, okay. Where they say, is it Acts 4 or is it
three,
where the guys are standing in front of the Peter and John, they're standing in front of the Sanhedrin. Yeah, and they say, I feel like it was a four. Anyway, they say,
tell us, Thunder Buddies.
Yeah. Right below which it is, because I have a Bible sitting right here. But they're standing in front, and they say, these men are uneducated, unschooled, ordinary guys.
Yeah.
But they've been with Jesus.
That's what
they're faithful to the person of Christ.
That's why I've never grown in any skill set. It's because I want people to look at me and be like, there's the only option is that he's been with Jesus.
Somebody asked me a couple weeks ago. I was at I was being introduced by a pastor friend to someone else. And the first question the guy asked me was, so where did you go to school? And I looked at the guy dead in the eye. I said, I went to the school of Jesus. And he's like, is that in the state? Or is that, I was like, no.
Sure.
I'm unschooled. I'm ordinary. I've been with Jesus.
I'm uneducated.
I'm as uneducated as they get. You think you could be more uneducated than me? Try again.
Try me.
Joke's on you. Hey, Joseph, we're recording, I think. Yeah, we're recording. What do you want to talk about today?
Welcome to the Sons of Thunder.
All of that was just banter of like trying to figure out what to talk about. So what do you want to talk about?
I don't know.
We've been going back and forth in a series. What do you got?
I was just gonna say real quick. I've had requests from some faithful Thunder Buddies.
Yeah, yeah.
And
which, if you're not a faithful official Thunder Buddy, go to thethunderpod.com and sign up today.
Yes, and also if you're not a Thunder Buddy, I will not listen to you.
If you send us requests and you're not an official Thunder Buddy.
You're going to get hate messages back. I'm going to be like, don't ever talk to me again.
Yeah.
I can do that.
Away from me, peasant.
You're on staff at a church. I am not. So I can say things. It don't matter.
Yeah.
No, I've had some requests, and I want people to know, the ones who have sent requests, we're thinking about these things. We're going to work on some stuff.
Right.
Just basically the main questions have been like life situations, within ministry, how we've lived our lives on mission trips, because we've gone on, I think we need to have a whole series on like missions and what we've done on, not what we've done, what we've seen God do on missions. Yeah. Well, if you talk about what we do, you'll understand how uneducated and unlearned we are. It's like,
and how people are like, we really appreciate you guys coming here. Please send another person next time.
Yeah. We didn't know that you did not know how to do any of the things we were asking. It's like, you should have known.
Yeah.
You were just the faithful, man.
Find the faithful and make them able. Don't find the able.
The problem is they just weren't making me able. They were just like, I was like, let's go. They're like, grab a shovel. What's this thing do? You're holding it backwards. Yeah. I just kept jabbing the stick in the ground.
I thought this was the handle on this side. It's very sharp. Pointy.
It's a weird handle. So yeah, there's that. There's also, if you have like Bible verses that you really want to see thunderize.
So you talked about Thunder Buddies asking about, like, because we talked about this already. Mission trips. We've been on tons of mission trips. Lots of local, and I say local like regional. I mean, so within a four or five hour.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so I'm not talking about mission work like in our own community.
Jerusalem.
I'm not talking about Jerusalem. I'm talking about Judea, Samaria.
Yeah, we're not talking about Jerusalem.
The othermost parts of the world. We've been on mission trips overseas. We've been a lot of places, but I counted it up the other day after we talked about this. I was like, I wonder how many mission trips I have been on that were not in my Jerusalem, but in areas we had to actually travel and stay overnight, right? And I began thinking, do you know how many mission trips, do you know how many mission trips you've been on?
No. Hold on. You keep going.
I'll keep going. The producer will cut out any blank stares and calculating. Jill's got to kick off his Crocs so he can keep counting with his toes.
Oh, he's not joking.
That's nasty.
That's not nasty.
Gross.
Oh, they are gross.
Yeah, they are because they're Crocs.
I think that's cat
poop. I don't approve. But I have been on 87 mission trips.
Holy smokes!
87 mission trips. Now, I am 42.
Good.
I am 42.
Lord.
So, basically dead. But,
dang!
80, that's a lot of mission trips.
You're old.
Like, that's a lot of mission trips. And I just began to think, I was writing them down. I was, like, trying to think of all the ones. And I may have missed one or two, but ultimately, like, it's over 80, less around 90 mission trips. And I thought that was at least staying two nights. Okay. I had like my one night, you know, like going somewhere and staying a night and like coming back. I don't really count that as a mission trip.
Okay.
It was a effort where we had to actually, you know, find some lodging, do a project.
Did you
like
remember the one where we went to Indiana and there was like four of us in a church van?
I do.
You do? Okay.
I do remember that one.
That one needs to be talked about. Some that shady was, stuff that happened was, on that trip.
Let me tell you, so we were in college, right?
Yeah.
We were in college.
You were out because you were the youth pastor.
I was the youth pastor.
I was the college ministry director here at the church.
And we took a couple guys.
We took a couple.
And we went and we went to every church in an entire associate. There was like 40 churches.
The thing was, this was before GPSs. So we had like
when ministry was real.
It was real. It's like, where are we going next?
No AI. No
like, turn. You need to turn left. And you were like, there's nothing to the left. I'm like, no, there's a road there. And you're like, no, there's not. Go 1.7 miles. 1.7.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, I forgot. I forgot about that. Until you
yeah. That was a great trip. So what we did, we partnered with an association. Our church did. And we said we were going to adopt every church in that association.
Families from the church were adopting whole churches.
Yes.
Praying for their pastors. Yes. But the whole church gathered and, it was
and whatever,
huge.
Whatever those churches needed, right? If they needed, some building projects were going on. We went up and hung drywall. We went up and built handicap ramps.
It made it sound like we were a mega church adopting an association of smaller churches. Most of the churches that we were serving were bigger than the church we were at.
Yes. We were just insane.
Yeah.
Like insane.
That's what the thunder brought.
So that's
what thunder brought insanity. The
thunder brought insanity. You knew there was a thunderstorm when he was around.
Yes.
And so part of what we did was we took like, it was 2 or 3 days.
Yes.
We drove and visited every single church location. We got photos. We mapped them. We did all that and then brought it back to our church so that the family that adopted that church or that pastor would have an actual image, know the church they were praying for, right? Know the place they pray. And like, this was, I mean, there was no Google Maps.
No.
There was, you couldn't like
it was
pull
MapQuest.
It was MapQuest and turn by turn directions. So people couldn't go and just like look up the address and like pull a street view.
We had to print it the night before saying, because we're going to go here and then from there, we're going to go there.
Yes.
So it wasn't old school, bring out a huge map, but it was still, you got off one turn, you're like, oh no.
we're in a state we don't know. We're all too young and too dumb.
We found some awesome places.
We did.
There were some seriously cool places that I even went to later on after we had GPS.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can go ahead because I'm thinking of one specific incident.
So part of that was
one of these guys is a Thunder Buddy, by the way.
I will say this. I will say one of the ones that was on the trip.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's a Thunder Buddy. If not, I'll let him know that we're talking about it.
I will say this. Here's what. So in all the mission work, if we're going to talk about mission work.
I guess we are.
It's not. Yeah, that's what just happened. Mission work is not always, going and preaching to people. Right. So sometimes in mission work, you are going to serve another like body of believers or encourage or empower or whatever to a group of Christians or believers that then can go and share the message. So we were going and equipping churches in those days. And there were some people, we didn't even talk to church pastors on that trip, right? We were just trying to say, our church needs the connecting piece. We are going to be that connector piece. And, we didn't,
I have something in my head that I don't want to say, but I do want to say it.
Wait, is
it's
about-
going to make us sound crazy.
Which part was it? There's one piece that's going to make us sound crazy?
I'm not going to say it's the paid subscription version. As we were going on all these churches.
Yeah. Paid subscription right here. So the craziest part is the one guy I was talking about that I think I know will listen to this. Anytime it was a sketchy area, we were like, hey, man, hop out for me real quick. And he's like, okay. And he'd jump out and he'd go do it. And we're like, and there was a couple times I remember.
Is this the guy that every time he got out of the van, he fell out of the van?
He did. It was every single time.
It was a van where you had the back doors that opened up on the side, and it was a church van. It's a big church van. The doors opened up, and there was it had a step, right, like two steps down or whatever. And so he would always miss that bottom step.
And it wasn't just once; it was literally at least 20 times.
It was Oh my gosh!
If you remember, every single time it was the same words out of his mouth. He'd say, "Oh shoot!"
Yeah,
as he'd roll out.
We're like, don't hand him the camera until he gets all the way out of the van.
Yeah, I remember like he had like cuts and stuff, bruises. They're like, man, you guys do mission work right. It's like, yeah, we're taking it for the team. But if you remember,
I haven't thought about that till just now.
I know there's so many. I wonder if he responds, like if he remembers. But man, I was in this guy's wedding. It was awesome. I love this guy to death. But
I'm going back to those moments right now in my head. Oh shoot! The door should fling open.
There was a couple of times where he fell out, and we were so mean to him. I don't know why we would do this. Like, you were driving because you were the only one like on the insurance.
Yeah.
So you were driving. That's the only reason you actually had to go.
That's the reason, because everybody threw straws in the staff meeting.
It's like, dang. You were driving, and I remember you were like, watch this. And he would get out and say, hey, you got to get a little closer. So he starts getting closer and you start driving off.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh no.
He'd be running back to us on the van.
And it was in like a busy part, a pretty decent sized city. So there were cars driving up down the road. Look like this guy chasing a church van. Oh, we look like we probably stole the church van.
Yeah, I'm sure of it. Yeah. I remember, there was nothing like ministry back in like 2000 and
the early 2000s. Yeah.
Six.
What was, but the thing I was thinking about, like, even something like that seemed insignificant at the time. If you look back, you're like, that doesn't seem like, that's not a mission trip. But let me tell you something. We took photos of churches, but we also prayed for those churches.
Right.
And we have actually gotten contact with people who were pastors there. And I mean, they're still.
I had lunch with one of them this past week.
Yeah. Well, he didn't count.
He was right here first.
Yeah, we took.
He moved out of there. So.
And I've got a picture of every one of his houses. He knows.
Even after we stopped adopting him.
Yeah,
he moved, and we're like, better go take a picture of his house.
It's like, hey man, do you still live at this location? And he's like, how do you know that?
Did you email him a picture of his house?
Then our buddy that fell out of the van is like, I got a picture. He's got like a black eye. So that trip spawned one not long after that, or it was a pretty good deal after that, where we went up and we prayed over we did prayer walks over the college campuses. I mean, something stupid happens. That's what's so fun about mission trips. If you go on a mission trip with brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to plan a Sons of Thunder mission trip. Could you imagine?
No, I couldn't. It would be bad.
It would be great.
Oh man!
It would not be great for the people that we're going to go serve. but I remember we went up and we prayed for like college campuses, and we were walking around the college campuses, like we're able to talk to people, and just genuinely spend time praying. I'm like, I think what people lack, they think that you have to be actively doing something with your hands or doing something like that. When honestly, that time of prayer, I'm like, that's where it's at. Because here's the thing, I'm limited in my abilities, very limited.
Nobody doubts that. Nobody doubts that.
Insanely limited. I don't think you all understand
just how limited he is.
It's embarrassing. For anybody else, they would be embarrassed to admit.
Yeah.
I'm not, I don't care.
Yeah.
I know my limitations and they're it's a lot. But knowing that like you're praying for something, here's the crazy thing. I wrote a little like prayer journal, like a kind of lead up to this mission trip.
Yeah.
And the craziest thing is like, I was, okay, God, what do you want me to write in this? Like, I'm going to start writing this whole thing. You know, it's for college age students. It was something small, something insignificant. And one of them was, as the disciples would gather together and the earth just shakes, like there was an earthquake in scripture. And, I said, I want to have that kind of prayer life where when I pray, we get to feel the presence of the Lord shake the ground. Yeah. And one of the people that was going on that trip with us sent me a message, said, did you hear what happened this week? And I was like, what? They said, on day three of the journal, which was like 3 days before we left, on day three where it talked about the earthquake, there was an earthquake in this city that we're going to go to. And I was like, what? And they said, yeah. And I was like, don't mess with God. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. God is like,
yeah.
Well, it is crazy.
And I'll say this too, with, you know, talking about prayer, the mission trips we did, every one of them, like I think about the ones to, we're a little church in Tennessee. You know, we had 150, maybe people, 200 people in our church. It grew, we may have been pushing 300 by certain points, but we were adopting entire associations of churches and school systems and all kinds of stuff. And like whatever they needed, we would go and do. And I do remember that the most powerful points in all of those trips, all of those association partnerships and all that, the greatest element of all of it was prayer, no doubt. And, you know, I think about it, you can do that right now.
Right.
You don't have to, and you don't have to have a partnership with some association. You can drive by a church. I'll catch myself sometimes driving by a church that I've never heard before, right?
Falling out the door, take pictures of it.
Get my phone out. Let me get a picture here. Yeah, get a picture. And but I, you know, especially those churches, I'll catch myself, especially those churches that have the signs that have like the pastor's name on it, you know, little small church and
throw eggs at it.
Yeah, exactly. It's those, most of those signs are changeable. So I'll go up and take the pastor's name off. And then he shows up that Sunday and I'm thinking, he's like, did I just get fired? Oh gosh. But
so we're from a pastor's family.
Yeah. But that's why I won't have them put those, one of those signs up here. I don't want them to think that, at our church.
I like when they put it on like a little chain sign underneath. So it's real easy just to take
pop
off.
It off,
you're
off.
Anticipating this.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. Oh gosh. But prayer is usable anywhere, right? You don't have to have any kind of like, special time or special whatever. You just stop and pray. I remember driving down the road a couple weeks ago, and I was going to meet another pastor that it was in a little bit of a stressful situation, stressful time. And I drove by this little church I'd never heard of before, and it had the pastor's name on it, and and as I looked at it, the Lord just kind of was like, "Hey, I'm working here too." And I thought, in my mind, it's a small church. It's a small, you know, congregation. It's a small, I'm like, I've never heard of this pastor. I've never heard of this church. And I'd taken a couple roads that I'd never taken before. And so I was like, just kind of driving around, you know, and it was, and whenever he said, you know, hey, I'm working here too. And in my mind, I thought, I need to be praying for this church. And so I started praying for the church, right? Then I catch myself, then what happened? Here's what prayer does. Okay, so we talk about missions.
Changes
right?
Your Instagram's algorithm.
It changes it.
It changes all
it
your
does.
Algorithms.
It changes everything. Because here's what happened. After I'm praying for that guy, and I'm praying for this guy. You know, I don't even know. I can't remember his name now. Wilson or something. And as I was driving away, I get to the lunch and I meet this pastor, and we have our lunch. We talk. I'm encouraging, trying my best to, you know, hey man, I'm praying for you. Let's pray together, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then I get back in my truck and I think, okay, I'm going to go back to the office now. And what had happened in mine, I'd been praying for this pastor of the church I didn't know. I prayed for the guy that I was sitting with. I get my phone out and I start texting pastors. And I'm just like, as I'm texting, I begin praying for him. And I'm like, this is unreal. This is unthinkable. Like, and it was all because I had a moment where God said, I'm working here, pray for him. And I thought, I don't know what happened there. I don't know what's happening right there at that church. It's not like I'm Googling them. It's not like and there's a part of me that thinks I need to go up there and, like, you know, find their number, call them, figure out who the pastor is, you know, friend him on Facebook or find him online or something. But I thought, you know what? Maybe it was just a moment where God said, I want you to pray here at this church because I am at work. Don't limit me to just these moments. Because here's the deal. You and I talked about this. We were trying to talk about what, figured out what to talk about. And God's been doing a lot here at our church. And, you know, we've had people saved now multiple times in multiple services, like in multiple places, people giving their life to him. I had a phone call with a guy who made a decision this past Sunday. I had a phone call with him today. And he was, I mean, he's like tearing up on the phone. And he said, man, this is one of the greatest days of my life. I cannot believe this is so amazing. He said, when can I get baptized? And I'm like, man, when do you want to? He was like, he said, well, I know you baptized in that little pool in the church, but can we do it in the river? And I was like, bro, it's like November.
So definitely.
So definitely. He's like, well, I've done cold plunges before.
I've not.
Yeah, I'm like, I appreciate that. I guess I'm involved now. Yes. I guess I'll be doing a cold plunge. But
be careful when you want to, if you ever feel called into the ministry.
Yeah, yeah. So what's happened the last couple of weeks, you know, and we had, even at students, we had somebody saved. And like, as we were, as I've been leading all these people to the Lord and hearing what God's doing and the change of story, and then, you know, I drive past this church. I'm like, I don't know if he's doing something there too. Like he is. He's working there. He's working in all these different places. And prayer is our connection piece. You know, I think about sometimes, you know, whenever it's all said and done, everything's restored and we're in heaven, it's all good. You know, if the pastor of that church comes up to me, because we're going to know right. things, right? Is he going to come up and be like, hey,
Samsonite?
I was going to, that's his name.
Nailed it.
Is he going to see you and say, hey, you know what? This day, you don't know this. God just told me, but like on this day, I was really struggling thinking about leaving, and he sent you according to your map on your GPS that sent you around the traffic, and right. you just thought you were avoiding traffic, and you made it an eternal moment, and my day was changed, and I didn't know it. I didn't even know what somebody told me the other day. They said, you know, I don't realize there's some days that just work out well. I'm like, those are the days I believe we're sustained by someone else's prayer life, someone else interceding for us on our behalf.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it radically shifts everything.
Like somebody's been praying for me a lot. You know what I'm saying?
The fact that you're still here.
Yeah.
It's a lot of prayer.
There's somebody like in a back corner kudos. Room just feeling beat up right now.
Kudos to mom who's watching now for praying Joseph alive now.
She comes out, she's like missing a couple of teeth, black eye. You okay? So I've been fighting.
Yeah, I've been in the war room back here praying for my sons.
It is not an easy task.
Yeah, yeah. Between her and our grandparents and all the people praying for us. Yeah, there was something else I was going to say. What was it? Oh gosh. Okay. I'm gonna do this. So why not? Right. Who cares? This is a chopped up episode. Okay. We're chopping this all up.
Okay.
Sunday night. Did I tell you what happened Sunday night at Fields of Faith?
No. Was I there?
Our local high school.
I wasn't there.
Had Fields of Faith.
I forgot.
It's an FCA event, right? Oh. Did I really not tell you this?
I don't think so.
So
I don't listen fully.
So my daughter, yeah, oh, I know that. So my daughter,
what?
My daughter.
Yes, you have one.
I have two daughters. The daughter two. That leads worship was leading worship at the Fields of Faith.
Oh, I didn't know
and so,
that.
Yeah, she led worship, her and her FCA worship team. They led worship. After they got done leading worship, they had a student stand up and give their testimony. I'm about to blow your mind.
Okay.
So this student, I don't know who the student is.
Oh, now, I thought you were leading up like I knew who it was.
I didn't know who it was. So I'm sitting up in these bleachers, right? So it was about to get rained out, and so they moved it from the football field to the inside to the basketball court.
Okay.
So I'm sitting here on the side, and all these students are over here. This is a big, it's a great crowd. It's a great energy. You know, everything's good. And everybody thought nobody's going to show up because of the rain, but everybody showed up and came inside.
Noise.
So, Briley leads worship, does a great job, kills it, crushes it like she always does. And it was just a real sweet spirit in the room. Well, this girl got up to give her testimony. She's a student, and she opened her piece of paper and she set it down on the little stand, and she had printed it out to make sure she didn't forget any processes, right, of her salvation story. So she got up and said, hey, this is my story.
This sounds just like how prepared we are for things.
Yeah. I'm looking around. Do we have a piece of paper here? So she gets up and says, this is my story of how God has rescued me and changed my life. And here's my story. She says, when I was whatever years old, she said something, some date. She said, I went to a to a fishing tournament.
Shut up. I know, shut up. You're joking.
She said, I went to a fishing tournament. She said, and there was a pastor that shared the gospel with me. His name's Mark Caldwell.
You shut.
And I'm sitting back here, and I'm like,
I hate you for not telling me about this before just now.
This is, I'm so glad I got this captured.
Oh my gosh.
So she says this, and I'm sitting over on the side, and I'm like, and my wife is sitting next to me, and my body temperature rises, right? Because I'm like, oh my gosh.
So the students are sitting there like this, they look over and the current pastor of the church is going
over here crying. And so she begins to share this story of how the faithfulness of this pastor had led her to Christ, baptized her, like all this. And then she goes into like what God has been doing in her life since, right? And the majority of it was God's been doing in her life. But right. Like that moment, it struck me. Well, so then after she gets done, they have somebody else come up and lead like a little transition worship piece. And then they had the speaker come. And whenever the other guy came up to like do a little bit of like kind of worship stuff, the FCA director came up to me on the bleachers and like, he doesn't even realize what's happened. Right. Cause I'm thinking he doesn't know dad. He didn't know dad either. He comes up to me and I'm very invested. Right. I mean, you can tell I'm very invested in this moment. He comes up, he says, hey pastor, I didn't ask you earlier. Do you care to be a counselor for tonight? I was like, sure. No problem. I said, what do I need to do?
Do you look like a basket case?
Yeah. He's like, you're obviously in the spirit in the moment. I'm like, well, isn't that crazy?
You're kind of glowing.
So here's what happened. So people get saved that night, right? Students right. get saved. I go out the back. I'm counseling a couple students. And so one of the directors at the high school, he comes up to me. He says, I said, God's just doing some great things, isn't he? He's like, he really is. And he said, I said, what's God teaching you right now? He said, I'll be honest, man. He's just teaching me about how full his goodness is. He said, it's even hard to say. It's not like linear. He said, it's not just like he said, it's full. Like it's just, he said, just fill it. And he's trying to explain this thing. And I said, can I explain that for you? And he said, that'd be great. I said, I sat in here today. I said, this morning. So that morning we had people get saved at the church, right? And great worship service that Sunday morning.
Man.
Great worship service.
I don't recall. I got to be a part of the praise team.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't recall the last, I think it was the last song. I think we ended up being like three or four songs. I don't recall being where I was. It was like this almost out of body experience. It was yes. phenomenal.
Unreal. I leave that service that morning thinking, and this is me, right? Because I'm a little bit, ever since dad passed away, like things are just seen in a different light, you know?
Yeah.
And so I remember thinking like, man, dad would have loved to see that.
100%. Right?
He would have loved to have seen that. I go to this service this Sunday night, a few hours later, and hear the testimony that dad had led somebody to the Lord, and they are now sharing their testimony. People get saved that night. And here's what, and his granddaughter led the worship, and I'm counseling somebody.
Did Bradley know? Did your daughter know?
She didn't know what was happening. And then, so after she got done, she sits down and hears that same thing. And so she told me afterwards, she was like, and Britton was there too. And she was like, I didn't expect that. Didn't anticipate that. And I was like, yeah, that was insane. So I'm talking, and so I'm explaining this to this guy. I'm like, man, this morning at our church, this is what happened. Like, it was where dad was a pastor. I hear his name because he's done this. I said, and I was sitting there thinking, I hope that one day when my daughters are sitting in a stadium somewhere and hear a testimony, they will hear that their dad was faithful.
Yep.
And that they did this. Fast forward again.
No.
There is a friend.
I haven't processed.
I am 100% positive he is not a Thunder buddy. he is. I will say, he is an Andy Griffith character.
Okay. I know exactly. It took a second. Took a second.
He calls me.
Oh, he's not a Thunder buddy?
I'm pretty sure. If he is, I'd be shocked.
I would be too.
So he calls me and he says this. He goes, hey, so I shared a prayer request with him, okay, about one person in our life.
And if you ever need a prayer request about, you, this is the guy.
This is the Earthquaker. This is the guy. He's going to get it done.
He's the one that's like, let me get in my padded seat because I know it's about to happen. It's about to shake. Let's yes. go.
He said, hey, I need, he called me. He said, I haven't talked to you in a while. He said, I need an update on this person I'm praying for.
Right.
Because I'm you know,
I remember
you know,
all that.
You know,
I know
about
the whole story.
So he said, I need an update. And I was like, okay, here's the update. You know, we talked for a minute. And he says, I just want to tell you something. He said, there's not a day that goes by that I don't think about. And he was very close friends with Dad. He was one of Dad's best friends.
I think he was because of his level of prayer. I think that's one of the reasons our father was so passionate and was able to. Yeah, let's
absolutely.
Go. Let's go.
He says, I just want you to know. He said, I haven't stopped praying. And I could have run through a concrete wall at that point. I have seen God do. And this was right after our student that got saved on Wednesday night, right? This was the next day.
The story with that one and our father.
Yes.
And our dad is.
Yes. Yes. So I started thinking, man, dude, like you talk about legacy, you talk about faithfulness, and is his faithfulness ever going to be wasted on us, right? So like, I don't want it to be wasted. And so I'm going to do my best to instill in my kids and to train up others and to do like all the things. It's been a wild week.
Because of what happened Wednesday, mm-hmm. it reminded me of a time I was able to go and speak at a church that our father was a youth pastor at.
Oh, yeah.
I was able to go and speak there. And I'll never forget. I don't even know. I can't even tell you right now what it was about.
Right.
I just remember the title. And it was Living a Legacy.
Yeah.
Like I'm not concerned with leaving a legacy. Because if you're living the legacy, you don't have to be concerned with that because it's there.
Yeah.
And it was so crazy because I think so much about, like, again, what happened Wednesday night was like, I was about flipping out anyways. But now knowing what happened before that, it's even more insane. Because I hear people all the time still coming up to me like, man, you know, this is what your dad did. And I'm like, I want the same thing. I want my kids to see that and be like, no, there's not a shadow of a doubt in their mind. They know where they're like you said, I don't want it to be wasted. It's not going to be wasted. I will not allow it to be wasted on me. Like, I'm not going to allow the things of the world to tempt me from what I see, what I've seen. Like, again, we've talked about before, the last moments of our dad's life here on this earth, he was fist bumping when we talked about spreading the gospel.
Yes.
What psycho does that?
The one that his story, his name, his connection, his faithfulness is shared in stories to come, right? So that's where I am blown away that, you know, Dad didn't save anybody. Dad didn't do it. But he was faithful in the moments that God entrusted to him. And the more you're faithful in those moments, which again, and I'm thinking, again, the story, I mean, this almost seems like kind of an episode that's kind of in a little bit of a whirlwind. It's a thunderstorm for sure.
Let's go. I can wrap this thing back around. I actually know. I know where we started. I know how we can do this.
Oh, wrap it around then. Wrap it back.
All I'm going to say is we talked about going on a mission trip, falling out of the van time and time again. I forgot all about that. It's like he was tripping over something and there was nothing there. He hit the door a couple times.
I'm telling you, he missed that bottom, that little running board is what he missed. He just missed it.
We wouldn't even tell him. It's like, hey, man, don't miss that. Don't miss the board, dude. Same thing he missed 15 times. But going on, the reason we went on that trip is because the Lord pierced our father's heart to adopt an association of churches.
Yeah.
So we're like, okay, well, what can we do? Again, we're not the able. We were the faithful. We were like, I'm not able to do all these things. Like, you know what? This is what we need. Let's go. And we did it. And it was like, it was a huge moment.
Yeah.
But I think about all the times that I went on mission trips with Dad and the times where people would always joke like, oh, look at him. We're putting a roof on. He won't even grab a hammer. Although he's over there because he was so in tune with what the Lord was having him do. He would go speak to the pastor. He would go do these things. And those people, specifically pastors on those mission trips, when he passed, were the first ones to reach out to us.
Oh, yeah.
They reached out and they said, you don't know what your dad meant because he showed us Jesus. He showed me what it looked like to be a more godly example. So here's what I'm thinking the whole time, talking about this Thunder Buddy of ours told us to, he's like, man, I really want to hear some of your all's experiences. We're not even, you said over 80.
Yeah.
We talked 87
about 87 mission trips.
We talked about one and we didn't even dive too far into it.
No.
Because there were, how many churches were there? Like
43, I believe.
43 churches?
Between 43 and 45, I can't remember. It was an odd number, and it was in its 40s.
So. And then the random barn that we showed up to for like 2 hours, and they were like, there ain't no church here. That was fun. we ended up on a back road, too, that turned into gravel, then turned into dirt, and we were like,
yeah,
my MapQuest sheets don't have this. I don't know where we're at right now. At one point, I think there was a buzzard just landing on top of the van.
Yeah.
But we just talked about specifically one, and because of the faithfulness, we don't know the impact that had.
No.
The same thing that happened this past Sunday night with this girl standing up telling everyone about her salvation experience,
yeah,
and how this man led her, like this man's faithfulness. Like, yeah, you taking a step, going, doing something that may seem crazy, like, oh, I can't afford to go on this mission trip. You can't afford not to.
Right.
When opportunities are presented and you have this thing, here's the thing. This is Wednesday night.
You're getting all kind of fired up.
Wednesday night got me really fired up because I was like, there's too many people who are just so do the bare minimum to make themselves to get themselves into heaven.
Yeah.
When God's like, I want you to go all in.
I knew you were getting fired up whenever I was preaching that. You were,
did you see me rocking? I'm, yes, over there. I'm on.
He's going to do this right here. I was like, what's happening to him? I got Joseph all cranked up.
There was a couple
you
of moments.
You go blow off some steam in an arcade or something.
Come on! There was a couple of times I was sitting over there. I remember I was like,
yeah.
Just fist bump. Like, yeah, what was that about?
Sorry about that. Yeah.
It was like, you know, you need to go all in because you don't understand. When you go all in, the impact that could have on eternity.
Yes.
And again, God's not calling the people who are already able. He's calling the faithful. He wants the faithful ones. So be faithful in what you have because you're like, man, I can't do that. I can't afford it. I can't do this. I can't do that. I'm not equipped to do it. God's that you think that God didn't take that into consideration
when he talked to you.
When he's like, hey, I want you to do this. Like, God, I don't have the money. Oh, my goodness, I did not know that.
Yeah. Where are we going to get it? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. It's like, hey, Brooklyn Angel.
I will say that I think there's a thread through this episode that has been prayer works. Prayer, don't overlook that or negate it or think it's not as powerful as like putting your hands to work. Prayer is work, and prayer is battle. Prayer is like going after it, you know. And here's the thing about faithfulness: if the Lord says to you, and you're driving past the church, and you see it, and you're like, you know what, I don't know anything about that church. They're not the same denomination as me. I'm a Southern Baptist. They're an Independent Baptist, or they're a fundamental whatever. What does their sign say? I don't know. It's a weird Baptist. Whatever. Like, God is working among people.
They serve coffee in the lobby.
He's right. Cool. They don't even have a choir. Don't get me started. But you don't know what God's doing there, right? And so if God's
I know what he's not doing if there's no choir.
God doesn't even know how to find this church. Oh, that's, we got thunderized hard.
That, oh, whoa, too
if
far.
If God's put them on your heart, pray for him, right? Like, and that is a faithful step. That is a faithful, and nobody's even around to see that, right? Because it's not about other people seeing your faithfulness. It's about the Lord seeing it.
Would you have gone, I mean, consider your life. Consider your life. I'm considering mine, and I know what kind of personality I have, all these things. Consider your life. If our dad would not have gotten saved, radically transformed, do you think you would have gone on those 80-plus mission trips?
I know how these things work,
but I'm saying in his passion, seeing his passion and desire, would you have gone on the first one? That's the question. Because after that, you get the bug. Like,
yeah. It's on you. Yeah. It changes your life. I think that for me, you know, seeing, and I even talked about this Wednesday night, like admiring somebody's faith.
Yes.
Or acquiring the faith.
Right.
And I think that we had the privilege of admiring a man's faith.
Yes.
Into us acquiring it. I think that there are a lot of people that don't have that story and don't have that blessing that have to, that don't really get people to, they don't really see a faith walk that they can admire, right? They just end up either acquiring the faith or they kind of live half-heartedly in people that don't,
And there's also different, like each, I'm going to go back home and count how many mission trips I've been on. Because each trip had something different and significant to make me want to go on it or, you know, any of these things. But I remember that one specifically we just talked about. If it weren't for the prayer room that our dad set and prayed, God, where do you want us to serve?
Yeah.
We would not have gone there. There would have been no reason for this association of churches would have ever, why would that have creeped through our mind as college age students?
Right. Yeah.
We're not gonna be like, I'll say
about that mission trip. So I was working on staff at the church.
Yes.
So I remember taking the photos back. We had a digital camera. Right? We took the photos back, and
we had to start proofing them because he was taking them halfway as he's falling out of the vehicle.
Yeah. This one's really blurry. I need you to go back and get another one. We made sure they were clear. But I remember we came back, and so he put together for every family that had adopted a church and a pastor. We put a photo in there, put the story of the pastor and all that kind of stuff, gave it to him. Dad printed out every single church and every pastor's note and all that and had it in his office.
Yep.
And he prayed over them every week. And especially, I remember him telling me on Saturday nights, he would pray for those churches for the Sunday mornings. Because let me tell you, Saturday night as a pastor is not fun. Like, it's not, I can't sleep. I can't, and Dad never could. He never did sleep anyway. But like, I can't sleep on Saturday. Yeah, I can't sleep on Saturday. I can't eat. I can't, like, it's all kind of crazy. And I remember he would pray, and I remember talking to him on Saturday nights, and I said, what are you doing? I called him, and he said, what are you doing? He said, I'm praying for our Indiana pastors. And I said, oh, yeah. And I was like, I'll do that too, you know. And I'm like, Lord bless the Indiana pastors.
And he's calling names. Amen.
He's calling names. He's saying their stories, their kids, their wives, their families. He's like, you know, Lord, I know this person has a sick mom right now, and they, you know, I know that they're having to put her in ICU, or they're having to put her in hospice. He knew the stories of those people.
And you know why? Because it mattered to the heart of God.
Yes.
So it mattered to him.
Yeah.
So when we say, we're going to pray for you, God bless them. Do we really even care?
We don't even know how to define bless.
We really don't. God, you know, do the thing that you do.
God, make it easy on them.
That's what we want. That's honestly, that's our prayer.
I heard a clip of a pastor who said, he said, I'm never going to ask it to be easy on you. He says, in fact, I'm going to say, if you are unwilling to repent and turn to Jesus, I'm going to ask that you get put in the worst amount of the devil's trap.
I've heard that one.
So it will bring you to restoration in Jesus. He's like, because that matters more than all the torment you can experience on earth.
Man, I've had people like that. And people, I'm gonna say something. Anybody ever listens to this podcast, I want you to know my heart. If I know you're living in sin and you're doing things you're not supposed to do, and you ask me for me to pray for you, I'm going to say, okay, God, make it hard.
Yeah.
Until they are so humble, their knees hit the ground, make it hard. Yeah. They're like, I don't want it to be hard. I'm like, I don't want you to go to hell.
I don't want you sinning. Yeah. I don't want you going to hell with a full belly.
Yeah.
Or enjoying the lust of the life.
I don't want you going to heaven alone.
Right.
If you're a believer and you're doing this.
Yeah.
Make it extra hard, God.
Bring him to repentance.
Bring him
to his knees.
But yeah. So we talked about, you know, prayer and those things. Like, and I, when you said that, it reminded me of the Saturday nights that as I was still here, when you started serving another church, and I would get to have the opportunity to come up to the church with Dad, and there was some other men in the church praying, and it was no joke. Like, he would call out these pastors, and he would be weeping.
Yeah.
Openly. Yeah. It doesn't matter if there was nobody else in the room. Everybody, he's not doing it for show.
Yeah.
He was doing it because he genuinely wanted to see God move in a mighty way. And then, it's amazing. So, I mean, don't just look at a mission trip or a ministry opportunity or anything like that as just a checklist, something to check off your list.
Yeah.
Understand that's a thread like we were talking about, because we can start weaving a thread and through every single mission trip we've both been on separately and probably see how some of them are intertwined
right.
when we're serving at different churches. And it's like, what just happened? Like, because it's the same God.
Yep.
God's like,
He's working the plan. He's like, I'm not going to send one person off to do this and then this person do something totally different that doesn't match up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how we live our life sometimes, but that's not necessarily God's plan.
Yeah. Oh, well, so we didn't have anything to talk about.
Nothing.
And then talked for a good 30, 40 minutes, 45 maybe. Who knows?
I do 47 minutes. We talked a little bit before.
That's raw footage. That's before it's been cut.
That's true. Literally right before this started, though, we had zero clue what we were going to talk about.
Zero. So let us know if this was helpful or if you hated it. And if you say you hated it,
You are no longer a Thunder buddy.
Joke's on you. You listen to it.
I like the whole missions and ministry approach. I think that's a cool approach.
Yeah.
Because we have some hilarious stories.
We do.
And
we
all, do. I mean, God moving stories. Yeah. I mean, there's so many. There are so many. We could talk for hours on that.
It'd be nonstop.
And some of them are so funny.
Will be. We'll talk more about those in the episodes to come. Right now, you've reached the end.
We need more faithful Thunder Buddies.
We need some Thunder Buddies. Go to thethunderpod.com and sign up today to be an official Thunder Buddy.
If somebody wants to just get a wild hair and give us a ton of money,
there on thethunderpod.com, you can donate to continue our... We've not been very consistent, right? And that's been the whole issue.
Noticed that.
Everybody has noticed...
I get some hate messages.
Now
from
I'm
Thunder
getting
buddies.
Messages, so it's not just you getting them.
Is it from our grandmother?
Yes, it's just, sweetie.
I got a Thunder Buddy message that he said, hey, it's Thursday, chop chop, podcast boys.
Thunder Thursday.
Yeah,
I don't know when this one's coming out. So we'll see.
I don't even know what day it is.
Yeah, it's not Thursday. It's after Thursday.
That's
or before Thursday, depending on what.
Yeah,
which
it's before Thursday.
At. It's before Thursday.
But yeah, we'll get more consistent eventually.
Yes. Donate at thethunderpod.com.
Help us be more consistent.
We are thankful. You will be hearing some more about our sponsors in the next couple of episodes. We have got some more sponsors coming.
And I heard a lot of these sponsors are there. I mean, we've mentioned it before, but they got some merch. They've been pushing my way.
Yeah.
Saying
yeah.
we need to be pushing some merch. And I'm like, hey, here's the thing. Talk to our producer.
Our producer's the worst, but don't worry, guys.
I wish you would do something.
You're getting fired.
It's good. That was good. Come join next week as we have a new producer.
Depending on which week it is. Join next time. Just say next time. That way it has to be
every week. I said week.
Yeah. Join us next time.
Yeah. Bye!